It's time now for the Chapel Platform, presenting a message preached on the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker today is Pastor Dan Sweat, pastor of Berean Baptist Church in Snellville, Georgia. Today's message is entitled, Getting Yourself Apart for Service for God. The text, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. This message was preached on the campus of Bob Jones University, August 7th, 1986.
Pastor Danny Sweat is pretty well known as Mr. Music. He has music seminars. He is a guest lecturer in colleges in music, as a conference speaker, and knows whereof he speaks in music. But we're glad to have him here this morning to bring whatever message the Lord has laid in his heart.
I'm not going to speak on music today, so you can all relax. It's funny, I go to speak a lot and many times in Christian schools, and I can speak on everything in the world. Everybody likes me. When I speak on music, everybody hates me. But anyway, today I'm not going to speak on music, so you can all like me today. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, please. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I think the reason is, let me just say this about music. I think the reason is because music is where you live, and it gets so close to who you see yourself or how you see yourself that it gets real touchy. I want to talk to you today about a subject that is dear to my heart. I mentioned yesterday the fact that 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus are particularly books that I've enjoyed studying. And I still consider myself a fairly young man in the ministry. I've been in the ministry 20 years now. I'm 41, as I said yesterday. But as I have been in the ministry and been involved with young people all of my ministry, and now having teenagers of my own, I find a tremendous amount of help in this passage because it helps us to set a direction for our lives. I really think, young person, as I look back at my teenage years, and as I look at my kids, and as I look at other young people in our Christian school and our church, one of the most important things I think that you can do is to set a direction for your life toward serving God. If you do that, it will automatically eliminate a lot of the problems that many of the kids have. That is, if you've decided to set yourself apart for service for God, then you will automatically, I think, eliminate from your life a lot of the things that would hinder you. And that's the thrust of this passage today. And I want to share it with you in just a few brief ideas, because our time is short. If you would please, in verse 19, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. The Apostle Paul loved young Timothy. He was a young man for whom Paul had a great deal of affection. And Paul wanted the best for Timothy. I can certainly understand that. I have three teenagers of my own, and as I look at them, I sincerely want the best for them. I want them to be everything that God wants them to be. Let me just tell you from my personal experience, young person, the best course of life you could possibly choose is serving God. Don't ever let anybody tell you that serving God is a second-rate life. It is not. After having been in the ministry for 20 years and observing people in and out of the ministry, the very best thing that you could ever do is to dedicate your life to serving God. And Paul wanted Timothy to be a vessel unto honor. The illustration he uses is that in our houses we have some vessels that are special and some that are not. Let me illustrate. My wife is back here in the back. When we got married, we got a beautiful set of china. You know how you pick out your pattern and you get all this? We have a beautiful set of very, very fine china. And as we were married, we realized, of course, you can't eat off of fine china every day. So we went down to a local supermarket, which was down in our area. We lived in Chicago for 10 years. And we bought some Dominic's special stoneware. You know how that stuff is. You know, the stuff you buy at the supermarket, if you buy $5 worth of groceries, you get a plate or whatever. Well, we had this whole set of dishes. And over a period of time, those dishes tend to get broken and they get cracked. And, you know, you have a cup and you start to drink coffee and it dribbles out on your chin. You know, those kind of things. So I decided one Christmas I was going to be a great husband and I was going to buy my wife a new set of dishes because I was tired of dribbling coffee on my chin from cracked cups. So I went out and I found this beautiful set of dishes that was an everyday kind of thing, not as fine as our china.
And I bought it for my wife and brought it home. And I knew when I brought it home, she was going to take all those old dishes and throw them out. Wrong. That's not what she did. Now in our house, we've got three sets of dishes. We've got the set of dishes that dribbles on your chin. We've got the second set that I bought for my wife. And we've got the fine china. Now, I can tell you, I can tell how important my wife thinks company is by the dishes she puts out. I mean, if you're just an average guy that's just nobody, then she puts out the cracked stuff, you know? If you're kind of special to us, then she puts out the stuff I bought. Now, if you're really the top guy, then she puts out the china. That's exactly what Paul was saying. He's saying in a house, there are several kinds of vessels. And Timothy, I want you to become a vessel unto honor. I want you to be the china. I want you to be the top stuff. Dr. Bob Jones used to say that he wanted at Bob Jones University to turn out show window material. Now, what he was saying was, when you go to a large department store and you look in the window, they don't have the scroungiest, bargain basement, rattiest looking coat in the world in the window. They put the best thing in the window, the thing you can't afford. And they get you inside, and then you buy whatever else is there. What he was saying is that Christian young people, ought to be the very finest and the best and the sharpest and the best dressed of anybody, because God wants us to adorn the doctrine of God before a lost world. So we need to set our sights on not just being average, but being above average, not for our glory, but for the glory of God. Interesting thing, statistics have proven that 90% of the people in the world follow 10%. That is, in your school, in your classroom, if you have 30 kids in your classroom, in your school, there are 3 kids that are leaders. There are 27 kids that are followers. And that percentage has followed through just about every place I've ever checked it. What Paul wanted for Timothy is, Timothy, I want you to become a vessel unto honor, one that is up at the top, that other people follow, that follow toward the right things. Now, Paul gives some definite steps of how a young person, how young Timothy could become a vessel unto honor. The first thing he says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. Now, the first thing, of course, is being born again, being belonging to Christ. Young person, I suppose the greatest proof of salvation that you could ever have is not whether or not you went forward in a church or whether you signed a card or whether you prayed a prayer, but is there inside you spiritual life? If you are born again, there is something inside you that responds to right and to good and to the Word of God. If that's not there, you better check up on yourself. But then he says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I mentioned yesterday in the session on music how important it is for young people particularly. If you notice the tenor of these first books, hope you'll read these books sometime very, very quickly. Because the thing that Paul says so often to young people is to get away from things that would harm you. Stay away from them. Don't get around them, because if you're around them, then you're apt to learn to like them and you're apt to be involved in them, and it's apt to ruin you. Now, let me illustrate. I have 3 children. My youngest son is the kind of kid, he's 14 now. If he heard me say, I can't say this when he's around, believe me. And if you tell him I said it, I'm going to choke you. But when they're not here, I can tell stories on them. My boy's 14 now. My youngest is 14. He plays football. He's a pretty good-sized kid right now. But when he was little, he would walk into the room and things would fall over. You ever known a kid like that? He just was that kind of kid. And, you know, he didn't have to look for trouble. Trouble looks for him, and it still does. He's just that's just the way he is. Great kid, but he just kind of has that knack about him. One day, we pulled up to church, and we were going into choir practice. We had choir practice on Sunday afternoon. And my boys said to me, Dad, can we play outside for a while before we come in? And I said, oh, sure. But I said, being a wise father that I am, there was one mud puddle in the middle of the parking lot. One mud puddle in the whole parking lot. And I said, boys, do not go near the mud puddle. Now, see, parents can see things like that. You know, we're so wise and smart. So I went into choir practice. In a few minutes, in comes Brian, my youngest son, covered from head to foot. What happened to you? He said, I was just standing there looking at it, and I fell in. Now, you'd have to understand Brian, but you see, the fact is, Paul said, let him that nameth the name of Christ do what? Depart from iniquity. Get away from it. You know why? Because if you don't, you're allowed to fall in. That's the problem. So, leave it alone. Now, notice the next thing. In a great house, he mentions, there are vessels of not only vessels of gold and of silver, but of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, that word purge is important, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. Purge himself. Purge means to clean. When I was in Illinois, we were there for 10 years, and I grew up in Florida. And in Florida, the ground is sand. It doesn't grow very much. But up in Illinois, the ground is very rich where we lived. I mean, you could throw seeds out the back door and they would grow. And I grew tomatoes and I grew squash, and it was fun. I'm not a farmer, you can probably tell that. But I thought it was kind of fun to grow a garden. And I had a little garden outside the back. And I recall one time we were going on a 3-week vacation. So I went out to the garden before I left, and I kind of looked at the weeds and kind of surveyed the situation. And I noticed a few little weeds about this big, but I thought, that's no big deal. So we just left. We came back. Now, folks, this is the honest truth. When we came back 3 weeks later, we had a certain kind of weed. I don't know what it is, but they were standing that high. They were as tall, almost as tall as I was in 3 weeks. They were had big, round leaves on them. I don't know what they are. But if you live in Illinois, you've seen them. They're huge, big old things. And I would get a hold of those weeds with all of my strength, and I would pull them. I could not pull them out of the ground. The only way I got them up out of the garden was I had to wet it down and get the ground wet to pull them up. Now, I learned an important lesson about gardening and an important lesson about life. When I left 3 weeks earlier, I could have taken two fingers and pulled those little things out of the ground. They were just little things about this big. I could just reach down and pull them up like that very easily. But when I came back, it almost took a stick of dynamite to get them out of that garden. Purge yourself. Someone said, a great life, like a great garden, shows a considerable amount of work during the weeding period. Young person, you're in the weeding period. The things that seem in your life to be very small now, perhaps an attitude of dishonesty, not quite being willing to face the truth, and when you get caught, you tend to lie. Or perhaps an attitude of sensuality or lust. Those little things that seem to you very small right now, which could be very readily removed with the power of the Spirit of God, if left to themselves and left to grow in your life, will one day become that which you will regret and you will have great difficulty ever overcoming. If you had been down the road as I've been down the road and talked to people as I've talked to people, you'd understand what I'm saying. I have never met a man in my life who ever got involved in pornography and dirty pictures that ever was glad about it. Not one. Not ever, guys. Not ever. I've never met a young man or a young lady who ever got involved in alcohol or dope that ever was glad about it. They always hated it. And let me tell you something. The very things that you allow in your life today, you will regret and you will pray and you will labor and you will strain to get out of your life 10 years from now. We need to, if we're going to be a vessel unto honor, young people, listen to me. If you are going to be one of the 3% in this room who serve God and who become a vessel unto honor, you're going to have to purge your life. You're going to have to keep those little things pulled up while they're still pullable. Purge yourself from these. And then he says, a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet. That word meet means suitable, meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. The Greeks had a statue that they called opportunity. Opportunity was pictured as a man running. He had a lock of hair right in the front, and he had no hair in the back at all. Now, the Greek mind, that represented opportunity. Here was the way it was. When opportunity comes toward you, you must seize it by the front, because when it is gone, there's nothing with which to grab it. That's the way the Greeks saw opportunity. And young person, that's exactly the way life is. In other words, right now, you are standing on the verge of your life. You are ready now to move out into whatever it is God wants you to do. Did you know something? 5 years from now, pretty much, your direction of life will be set in the next 5 years. You will determine the next 5 years who you marry. You'll determine what school you're going to go to. Most of you will determine what career you're going to have in the next 5 years. You must seize opportunity as it comes by you. It's an interesting thing how many young people never give any thought to their future, to where they're going. And yet, sometime down the road, they look and they wish they could have the opportunity to come back again. These training periods that you're in, high school, don't miss anything. Enjoy. If you're in a good school, a good Christian school, or a good school, enjoy the opportunities for development that you have. Get involved in things. Play in the sports, sing in the choir, play in the band. Do all the things you can to prepare yourself for God's service. Don't let those opportunities go by. Select a good Christian school to go to, for a good college where you can be trained and where you can enjoy it. One of the greatest things about going to a Christian school, a Christian college, is being able to participate in things. I graduated from a large public high school. I never will forget coming to Bob Jones and the absolute joy it was to be able to participate in everything. As a matter of fact, I participated in so much, I didn't have much time for anything else. And studies was just kind of a sideline, you know. But it was a tremendous thing to be able to come and participate, because being a part of the opera and being a part of drama and all that was such a tremendous help to me. And it was a great opportunity that I could never recapture. I could never go back and do that again, because it's gone. Now, if we're going to be a vessel unto honor, we must take advantage. We must be prepared for every good work. And last of all, he says in verse 22, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. There are two ideas here. They're the antithesis of one another. He says, first of all, to flee youthful lust. As I said, and I will not belabor the point, as young people, it is so important that you learn to run from that which would destroy you. Don't ever think that you can go out and sit in a parked car and avoid sin. You won't do it. I was teaching our young people in our school. As I mentioned, I taught a series on making wise decisions, making mature decisions. We need to draw our standards. We need to place our standards. I want you to hear this. If you don't hear anything else, I want you to hear what I'm going to say. We need to place our standards at a point where failure will not result in destruction. You know what I'm saying? In other words, let's suppose that you set your standards, young lady, to the point where you will go out and sit in a car and neck and do whatever else, but you won't go all the way. What happens if you fail? What happens? Destruction. You see what I'm saying? Now, the purpose for right standards is you draw that standard back over here so that if, or should I say, when you fail, then that failure will not destroy your life and your effectiveness for God. So you need to be careful. You need to flee things that would hinder you. Gentlemen, don't ever get involved in dirty books and dirty stories and dirty movies. Don't ever do it. It'll ruin you. Don't do it. Stay away from those things. Flee youthful lust. The next phrase, though, is interesting. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord. That word follow is vigorously pursue, as a hound pursues a rabbit. That is, seek. You know, if you go to a public high school, how many of you go to public school? Let me see your hands. A few. Let me say something to you. If you are not aggressive with your testimony, you will fall. I've seen men in the business world. I've seen teenagers in colleges. I've seen teenagers in high school. The best defense is aggressiveness for the Lord. This idea is, if you're going to be a vessel unto honor, young people, not only must you have certain things that you avoid or that you purge out of your life, but there must be an enthusiasm and a vigor for serving God. He says, but follow, vigorously pursue righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. There is an aggressiveness about serving God, an enthusiasm for righteousness and good things that you must have. You must develop that if you're going to be a vessel unto honor. Young person, I pray that you'll make up your mind that you're not going to be like the 90%, that you're not going to be in the crowd that just kind of floats along, but that you set your goal, as Paul prayed for young Timothy, to become a vessel unto honor, somebody that God can use. And let me say one more thing and I'm through. If, in fact, you become a vessel that God chooses to use, and if you find yourself in a place where the people in your church are honoring you because of your service for God, or perhaps in your Christian college or after school, be certain that you give that honor back to God where it belongs. Don't keep it for yourself, because that's a sure way to fall. But be a vessel unto honor. Be a vessel that God can use, and one that God can take and bless and make a blessing to others.
You've been listening to The Chapel Platform. You may purchase a copy of this message from the campus store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Send a check for $5.13, and be sure to give the name of the speaker, Pastor Dan Sweat, the title of the message, Setting Yourself Apart for Service for God, and include today's date. This program has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.